the big show. Yes, we're to discuss the week's massive technology stories. I've got a great panel, brilliant panel with me this week. Starting us off, top left, he's late in because he's a famous superstar who's been on the radio, Doc Rock. How you doing, buddy?
Hello, everybody. Hello, everybody. I wish we were having a better World Cup, but I'm doing
yeah,
right,
dude, so you got the England top on. You're looking super hot with it, but we're 1-0 down.
Yeah, that's okay. We'll cheer him on through the show. I just wish it while we're doing this, and it'll be all good.
I got to say, I stopped wearing my England rugby shirt because every time I put it on, we lost, and when I didn't have it on, we won.
So you're saying it's my fault?
I'm saying there was a correlation between me and that's bullshit, but.
All right, never mind. Cool.
Next to him, with fantastic cap on and new surroundings. Are you in the broom cupboard there or something, Jeff? Jeff Gammon.
Well, okay, so first the hat. This is my Jedi Training Academy hat. So people understand.
I knew it! I knew you were a Jedi!
Yeah, yeah. I'd show you my lightsaber, but I don't want to change the demographic of this show, if you know what I mean. And yes, I'm in a different venue today. I had to bum some office space. The plumbing in my place seems to have gone south in a bad way. Ooh. The kitchen sink overflowed with raw sewage and it went across the floor. So the hat is because I haven't had a chance to take a shower today, which also accounts for why I haven't shaved either.
Now, the paintings behind you make it look like you're in elementary school. And if those were done by Angela and I'm being really offensive, please apologize on my behalf. But
no, it's some famous artist. I don't know who his name is, but from here they do have more of a kindergarten look, which is that's I'm okay with that.
We've pissed someone off. Batwench says, is the end of Jeff's lightsaber glowing?
Well, no, I could tell. But then that would take the mystery out of our relationship now, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. Absolutely. Beneath him, new boy, Terry Barriff. How you doing, mate?
I'm good.
Fill us in, mate. What's your field of expertise? Where do you come at tech from?
So I'm a front-end developer. That's what I do. I am. So for people who don't know
if you'd been a back-end developer, Jeff would have been your man, but no.
We've got a lot of back-end developers as well, actually, as it happens. You need the back-end and the front-end to work together. I build websites. It's the easy thing to say. It's the one that everybody understands. So when I build websites.
Good man. Welcome to the show, mate. I hope you relax and enjoy yourself. Get yourself Stop drinking the water. Jesus Christ, get a beer.
You know what? Leave the water out of this. What's it ever done to you?
Well, nothing, because I don't drink it. Christ. next to him, righty boy.
Hello, mate. How
tough,
are you?
Tough week, dude. You had a week off as well.
I know. Miss you guys.
Yeah.
You miss me? Miss me?
I can't come to the show. I'm really busy. And then he tweets out a picture of a frigging balloon over a pub where you're in the beer garden. What the hell's that all about? You lied to me.
No, that was after the busy thing I did. That was kind of a relaxation.
Which was before the show. You were... Dude, don't go to the football and get on camera. That's what... Rule 101.
I'll bring the wife in. She will explain everything. Don't want that.
Don't chuck a sickie and then tweet a picture of you down the rugby.
Wait, hold on. All right, I'm going to need to translate though because I think I have a new word. Chuck a sickie is calling in sick?
Yeah, absolutely.
That is awesome. That is awesome. We call it taking slick leave.
I chucked a sickie last week.
I like chucking the sickie. I'm going to use that. Thank you. I'm going to write that down.
You got chucking a sickie is to give in a sick leave, but then when the person comes back to work, you give them a new nickname, and the new name is Sick Note.
That is my nickname, isn't it?
Yeah. James Hart was Sick Note after he had a suspected heart attack and didn't come on the show for one week because of his suspected heart attack, which I thought was pretty thin.
This Evernote is called Shite I Hear on the BTN Network, and I can add it to my list.
Mate, it's a big list if it's talking shite. That's not a segue to our illustrious next person, who is Streak. How you doing, buddy?
Hello, I'm back.
Good man. You've been pulling night shifts, haven't you, apparently?
Doing the graveyard shift at work, doing tech support till 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. Jolly good. Batwench has missed you. She came close to removing you from her moist list.
Oh dear, that's not good.
You can't do that.
Now, normally we'd start off and we'd do something that was, you know, like some letters, or we'd do some of the fun in the show before we then get into the stories. But I have got the best prize you could possibly want. It is a totally unique prize, I promise you this. And tonight, someone will win these. So to start us off, first prize is a copy of Windows 95 Upgrade. I know you sad bastards would love this. Now listen. See that? Listen to that.
Not even proper 95.
Shush, shush, shush. Listen to that. That's the cellophane. I have a copy. Well, that's not true, actually. I've got two copies of Windows 95, and they're still in the frigging cellophane.
You have upgrade versions of Windows 95 and they're still in the factory sealed plastic.
They're still in the factory sealed plastic with a price on of £79.
Wow. Mr. Rankin, can I upgrade from Windows NT, please?
Yes, you can, if you've got these. But there you go. Wow. So I've got two copies of Windows 95 to give away if you'd like them. All you've got to do is say, I want, and they're yours. I'll post them to you. Here's the next one. I've got two copies of Office 97 Upgrade to give away. And I'm guessing from the weight, there's a really frigging heavy book in there, and we get massive keying issues here because of these shiny, bloody things.
You went back then, they made the CDs out of stone.
Oh, look, the green thing in the middle's gone vacant. Yeah. There we go.
I can see through your chest. It's amazing. Yeah.
It's Jeff's lightsaber.
I'm mad.
Yeah, sorry about that.
But there
sometimes
you go.
It goes off half-cocked.
I've got two copies of Microsoft Office 97 Upgrade.
Wow.
And this is it, the piece de resistance. Right? I've got a Palm Trio 750V.
Have you been at Will Green's house?
Hang on. No, this is the best bit. It's still sealed.
Really?
It's still got the seal on it. Look, hasn't been broken.
Never touched by human hands.
Never touched by human hands. A Palm Trio 750V. And all of this could be yours. All you've got to say is, I want this, Ewan. what an awesome... Now, you can't get this anywhere else because everything is still in the plastic. It's never been opened. It's never been touched by human hands.
Where the fudge did you get that?
Well, no, this is the sad part because actually I'm saying I've got two copies of each, but actually my mate is a guy. His nickname on Twitter is Pete the Skip.
He found him in a skip.
And he's big into waste. He's a very rich man, actually, but he's big into waste removal. And he's got a job over at Tisley. And he got asked to go in and clear this factory. So he went in and he's looking at all of the stuff, like there's racking and that kind of stuff, and he's selling all the scrap metal and that kind of thing because that's what he does. But I went over to see him today and he said, I've got these. You don't know anyone wants these, do you? And I'm like, I've got to have those, sunshine. You've got to give me those. So the thing is, right, and Sharon's come up with this as a giveaway. He's got 200 boxes of Microsoft Office Upgrade 97 still in the cellophane, and he's got 200 boxes of Windows 95 Upgrade still in the cellophane. So I was going to get them all off him and give them away free at the bash. What do you reckon?
Do it.
I think that's brilliant.
If you come to the bash, you get a free copy of both pieces of software.
You do that, I'll bring 25 copies of Windows 2000 so you get upgrade.
But these are still in there. You can hear it. They're still in the cellophane.
People are fighting in the chat room over these prizes.
But I seriously will. If you seriously want these, send me an email, britishtechnetwork@gmail.com, and I'll send you one. And I'll try and post this up tonight or tomorrow. But when this goes up, if you listen to it on audio on the recorded version or video on the recorded version, send me an email to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com. If you want a copy, I will go and get you, because Pete has a pallet full of both of these to give away. He's found them in this storeroom in this place in Tisley. It's a liquidated clearance thing from the administrator, so it's all kosher, it's all legal, nothing's bent or hooky or all that kind of stuff. If you want it, send me an email, I'll give you a copy.
No, surely they've got to show it installed afterwards, running.
Oh, that's yeah, absolutely. Well, no, but you don't want to open it. I mean, seriously, if you've got a copy
this of... This is better than auctioning us off for dates.
Yeah. I think I should put these as antiques on eBay. There you go. So that was my prize.
Don't underestimate doing that. People will bid on almost anything on eBay.
Sure. Ewan, I want those more than Tom Hiddleston, Mark Shepherd, Orlando Bloom, hog-tied and dipped in white chocolates, as Batwench. Kelly G says, just yes. I'm not sure to what question, however. And Batwinch says, oh my God, yes, yes, yes. So there we go. I shall, if you want to have a free copy of those at the Bash, Pete has two pallets full of them. They're going in a skip on Tuesday. So you've got to send me an email that says I want them. And I've got a list of like 50 copies of it that I have to get, I'm going to go over and get them. And we'll give them away at the Bash.
I love awesome. The copy about the Antique Geeks Roadshow. I don't think the antiques are the software or us. That's what I'm a little confused about, but, you know, still.
Just don't ask. Good.
Right, The Week in Tech. What's been up to? Who's going to start us off with their big story of the week?
Ooh.
New boy, do you want to start us off? Because apparently yours is pretty good, Terry.
Really? Well, I
Waiter says choices. It's pretty good.
I had two choices. So my.
Well, pick the good one, for Christ's sake.
Okay. Okay. This one's more of a conversation starter. Okay.
Go on, then.
So it's about the boring thing about it. I'm going to get that out of the way. Is the whole thing's come around about standards in wireless charging. That everybody's moaning that there needs to be some kind of standard of wireless charging. Basically, because what's going to happen with these two different things is one's going to emerge and anything that you're going to try and charge wirelessly isn't going to work with this new one. So there's the problem. So your new Nokia, I think that's got wireless charging built in, hasn't it?
Some of the models have, some of them haven't. So you can buy an additional back that'll give you inductive charging.
That's so is that Qi right. and PMA?
That's right, yeah. That's right. So the reason why this was such an interesting thing wasn't necessarily the fact that they're trying to come up with these two standards. It was actually, like, why hasn't wireless charging really picked up? I mean, what is it about it that we can't really, you know, look at? And, you know, I've got a tablet. I've got a really nice Google Nexus tablet that my partner bought me. And I bought myself a wireless charger for it because I finally had something that I didn't need to get a back for. I didn't need to do anything like that. I could just put it on this little block and it would charge. So excited. And I kept looking at this thing thinking, why isn't it charging? It was charging. It was just taking hours and hours and hours and hours.
Yeah, well, that's an amperage thing though, isn't it then?
Yeah, exactly. And it just wasn't fun. It just wasn't fun. And I kind of thought, why are we using this? Why hasn't it got better? And it also goes back to one of the conversations we had earlier about why aren't batteries in phones any better, you know? So, yeah, that's kind of what I want to know. What do you guys think about wireless charging? Why hasn't it picked up?
Well, it's part of the thing of standards, you say. Standards are the most important thing.
Straight D a bit, go on.
Okay, sorry. Didn't hear the poll was on there. 2009 Palm, the Palm Pre, it had wireless charging. Worked great, as far as I can tell. And they had it all figured out. Just put the little device on the what they call the touchstone. That was it. It worked.
Yeah, I've got to say, the Nokia wireless charging. My wife, because the 820, which is what my wife's got, comes with a wireless charging back already, an inductive charging back already on it.
That's right, yeah.
And that charges up just fine overnight, fully charged. And my 1020 with the additional inductive charges to a full capacity in 3 or 4 hours. So
the Nokias are using the Qi. It's the Qi technology, isn't it?
Right.
And what Google are trying to push for, and this was kind of strange thing as well. Google are trying to push for this the PMA standard, and that apparently is their standard. It's what they've decided to go for. But the stupid thing is,
and Terry's gone quiet.
Oh dear!
Yeah, I know he was about to tell us what the stupid thing is.
And the important thing is,
we weren't supposed to hear
the wireless charges failed.
The important thing is, you don't talk smack about Google. This is their internet. What happened?
I see.
You know what I mean? Somebody was like, oh, that guy.
There he's good.
Hey, I'm back.
Terry's got the Skype beacon. Righty, what were you going to say, mate, before...
Well, because obviously this whole thing about standards, because I listened to the big show last week about Tesla giving all their kind of patents away for kind of charging the cars and things like that. Good show, even though it wasn't there. But anyway, but the big companies like Starbucks and things are taking on PMA. They've already chosen their thing. So I don't know what the difference between... I think they call it Qi, and PMA. But Starbucks, they want to get you in because they want to sell you coffee and they want to get you to charge your phone while you're there as a perk. But yeah. I think that's the way the people are going. It's the way the big companies are going to buy into these things. But it sounds like the big companies are going to the PMA, the power mat thing.
That's right, yeah. They really are. I mean, if you go onto the Wikipedia page and it shows the list of all the companies that have bought into it, I mean, it is the real big players, all the key players, you know.
Now, you were about to tell us the most important thing is, and then you cut out, Terry. So what's the most important thing, just to be clear?
I don't remember.
chat rooms.
Cliffhangers.
I hope you haven't brought an ego, mate, because the chat room's asking whether you're the bloke out of Transformers or not.
I'm going to say yes.
Yes, yes. Terry is Sheila Burf. Absolutely.
Actually, I'm Optimus Prime.
No, not him.
Oh,
you're closer to Meg, what's her name, than that. I mean, is anyone really bothered about a standard? You should be, I know, but most 99% of the people have no clue. Sorry, Jeff, go ahead.
A standard would be nice, because if we have a standard, then... we know that whatever device we have, we can just set it on any charging plate and it works.
Yeah.
I would love to see a standard emerge here. My guess is that because Starbucks has totally bought into this whole thing, that we now know what our standard is.
Can I be a dick for a second?
Go ahead. You're in good company,
only a
mate.
Second?
You're in good company. Go ahead.
All right. Well, I know that Verso would tell you that I'm a dick all the time, but that's a different story. Here's why I hate standards. Standards cause innovation to freaking stop.
Mm.
And although we want standards because it's easier for us because of our $20 effing cable, if you leave it open, or, you know, in this case, charger pad, if you leave it open, then companies can continue to thrive. But the minute there's a standard, you have a tendency where now there's 9 companies in a consortium and they're trying to increase a tech. So the tech kind of eats it, a la HD DVD and all the other standards like SCSI. I mean, we can go down a list of all the crap that became standard that ate it. So I think it's better if you leave it open. And when someone figures out, and you've seen this before, if you go back to tech, you know, a couple years back, someone invented a pair of denim that had an electrostatic pad in the thigh, so a fatty like me could charge the phone just by walking.
Oh,
right.
Oh.
You guys remember seeing that?
I'll
find you the link, but it was a funny thing. Like, we all talked about it for like a week because it was hilarious.
I used to have some girlfriends who would have blown it up.
You know what I mean? Great. I mean, hey, I can fill up a half a ton of batteries. Hey, walk next to Doc. That fat fucker's charging everything. You know,
thanks for the edit, dude.
Like, I think that my only fear of standards, honestly, though, is that it has a tendency to squelch thought.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I think you're probably right. I think you're probably right there.
So I had to put on my geezer hat now.
That's right.
And the other thing that I found about like the whole wireless charging as well is that some bright spark, I can't remember her name, I can find it for you and get back to you on that one, but she's basically come up with wireless charging, but true wireless charging. This is obviously wireless, you know, you put it on a pad and there's no wires connecting to your phone and everything's great, but it works via ultrasound. And it creates vibrations. The vibrations charge the phone. And the company are called...
That's got to be something piezo-based.
Pardon?
That's got to be something piezo-based then, if it's creating a vibration and getting the induction charge from
it. That's right. I Googled it. I mean, it was quite an old article that this company, that was about 3 years ago, they were a startup. And apparently it's worked. So the idea is that they have these speakers that... So, you know, going back to the... the Starbucks example. You walk in, they've got these speakers that are blasting out this ultrasonic sound, and your phone's charging up while you're in the shop. Just like that.
Might not be great for dog owners, I guess, but maybe they don't care about going to Starbucks.
Yeah, anyway. Well, that, and if you're wearing any type of electronic device that helps out your body telemetry or whatever, aka pacemaker, hearing aid, you know, electric heart valve or something, you can't roll into a Starbucks. Some dummy, you know, tries to power charge his phone, or, you know, people start trying to do weird stuff to that, and you take a ticker off a beat. I mean, I like the idea of wireless charging, but okay, so here's a kind of similar idea. It sounds really, really good on paper because it sounds like something. We have these douchebags here that bought a bunch of Teslas, and they all drive around, and they're on and Prius, you know, and they're on a Facebook and a Twitter and telling everybody how green they are because they bought an electric car. We live in Hawaii. The electric company burns black oil gas. So even though you bought an electric car, you douchebag, you got to plug it into the electricity that's burning the same oil you think you're saving. So you didn't really do anything but make yourself look like a dumbass because you didn't think it all the way through. And that's the thing that I worry about. If it's a good idea, but it needs to really be thought all the way through, and there needs to be some goals set. Okay, we're going to pick the standard here, but we do promise to keep it moving, and then I think we're okay.
But the longer term you've got with electrical power, I mean, if you look at the British rail network, the British rail network is slowly slipping over. Diesel trains are being left in the yards because everyone's going to electric. And the reason they're going to electric is because there won't be anything to burn to put into a fossil-fueled engine. The fossil-fueled and the nuclear-powered will produce electricity, and that's all that'll be left in 30 years for us here. So every new line and a lot of the old lines are being changed over to electric, and that's where the car issue comes. Yes, you're still burning fossil fuels to get the electric in a lot of cases, coal-fired power stations or gas or fired power stations or oil fired power stations, but eventually you're going to end up with nuclear and you're going to end up with wind and wave, and that'll be it because there won't be anything else. Good story, mate. Excellent story.
Thank you.
Top job. I don't know if the standard is something that's going to... I mean, you could end up with an HD DVD versus Blu-ray war here, but I don't know if it's going to... Is it going to go to two camps and then one's going to be decided in the same way, the VHS Betamax, or is it going to stump and just end up with people being fragmented and going their own ways?
I don't know. I mean, to me, the support that the PMA standard seems to be having is probably going to be the overall winner in it. So yeah, but I mean, obviously, you know, there's exactly the other problem with standards as well. Is, you know, I mean, we had this problem, still have this problem with online, with websites, is that everybody thinks it's their way to do it and their way's best, and it just isn't. So I hope for the world's sake that if there is a standard, there's only one. There's not going to be two or three or anybody. It's going to be one.
The decider is going to be on the device, though, because I know from my viewpoint, because I've got a Nokia 1020, I have to add an additional back to the back of that, which I don't want to carry around with me all day. So no. I've now gone back to plugging it in to charge it. But my wife is quite happy to walk in, sit it on the kitchen, on the pad, and switch the socket on and then walk away from it. So it's that ease of I just put it down, it just charges. And that's where that pad stuff came in. With the thing where, you know, it's totally freaking charging, you know.
And that's, I mean, that's it, though. I mean, I kind of came up with the analogy of a casual charger yesterday when we were talking about this. It was basically the idea of, you know, you just go into work, you've gone, you commute, you've drained your battery, and you just throw it on the table and it just starts charging. You know, you throw it on your, well, not on the table, that would be great, but no, you throw it on your pad and it just starts charging. And, you know, you can just pick it up, use it, pick it up, use it, and it's there for you throughout the day without having to fiddle about with the USB cable. So, you know, there are those kind of benefits of being that sort of casual charger, as it were. But so that's
it's got to be easy.
Yeah, it has to be. I agree.
Cool.
One more quick one before we sort of bounce off the subject. I think another thing that's kind of cool is now we have battery shaming really close. For our favorite OS, I know some of the other OSs already have it. 9 times out of 10, your problems that you're having with your quote-unquote phone and its battery, they really would last as long as they should last when the applications are doing what they're supposed to be doing. And so now that Apple and, you know, the other makers out there are making it easier for us to know what developers are wasting too much battery doing stupid stuff, they're going to get pressure from us to be like, hey, you know, Instagram, I love you, but stop eating up all my battery. And they'll be like, well, cool it with the selfies. No one wants to see you or something like that. So I think part of that, we're trying to fix a problem that may not actually be as big a problem per se, because I think the phone, when it's, I have my phone almost naked right now because I just reinstalled everything. The battery lasts about 100 times longer than it did when I had apps on it. It's kind of funny, but yeah, there's that.
But we want the phone to do what it's meant to do. So it should be.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Yeah, I'm not saying get rid of the apps. I'm saying apps need to tighten their battery uses up.
But it crazes me in like 2014 where they'll do a launch. They go, oh, we've got a new phone, and the battery will last one whole day. And you're like, Jesus Christ.
Well, there was a guy tweeted out the other week on Twitter, and he said, you know, just this is 2014, people, just accept that the iPhone puts all of these applications into deep freeze. They're not sapping your battery, and you haven't got to shut them down like you used to in 2006, 2007. And I just looked at that and thought, No, it doesn't. And what Doc's just said there is absolutely correct. You strip everything away and you start with a fresh copy of your OS and just add the apps that you want on it, and all of a sudden your battery lasts an awful lot longer. And it's true. It's not a case of just trust that Apple will shut everything down and put it on deep freeze, because I don't think they do.
Yep.
Cool it with the selfies, says Windrose, a title for the whole show. Who's got a story for us then?
I got one I find kind of interesting. It's still very premature, so there's not a lot of depth to it, but I find the concept in itself interesting. So Knight, Mozilla, Washington Post, and New York Times just launched a new thing, and it's open news. And so basically they're coming together to build a community, I guess sort of like Medium, but even more open than that. And it's as a way of, I guess, sort of polishing some of the journalism that's happening online. And I got some names I like to throw at them for them to just go beat up, but that's a different story. I just think that the whole idea of, if we're going to have this information on 24/7, let's clean it up a little bit. And it doesn't mean that we take away freedom of speech. I mean, you can say whatever you want, but at least have a way of teaching the people that want to say stuff, teach them how to do a little background check, teach them how to get the facts right. Or one of my favorite people is Karen Armstrong. She has this thing where if you're going to be, and I'll switch the terms around and make it tech. She said, if you're going to be an Android guy and you're able to sit down to me right now and tell me 50 points why Android is better than iOS, in order to be really, really good at your game, you need to also be able to tell me 50 points why iOS is better than Android. So when you attack it from a balanced standpoint, you know what I mean? Like that was lost on the modern writer nowadays. When we were going to school, you had to do it that way. And teachers would purposely make you argue stuff you hated. And so I'd love to see this flourish. Mozilla, Knight, you know, New York Times, Washington Post, you got big names behind it. It's basically a platform for journalism, and I'm really interested to see where this goes.
I totally agree. I mean, one of the things that Kelly and I had a bit of a debate the other week about open, net neutrality and that kind of stuff. It was a bit of a debate, doesn't really quite cover it, to be honest. But one of the things I've put in, you know, from both sides of viewpoint on the net neutralities, I get the fact that Comcast aren't a great company, and I don't hold anything towards them because I don't use them. I'm not a customer of theirs, but there's a certain element that gives me a little bit of sympathy about the fact that everyone's creating massive quantities of content, and I hold my hand up here because we're doing it, and just chucking it out there and saying, well, everyone should be able to consume it just without, well, hang on, you know, there's a massive wealth of information out there that people are now suddenly demanding that people didn't envisage 6 months ago, let alone 3 years ago when they built infrastructure and stuff like that. You've got to be realistic about it. And that journalism is not realistic in the way that it portrays stuff. Doc's exactly right there. It's got to look at the both sides of it and say, well, it's okay to say, well, you can charge more to Netflix and that's wrong, but you've got to say what's right about putting onus on content producers to provide more or have their packets withdrawn or throttled.
Yeah, and you know what, like, for me, I know it sounds crazy, and Kelly and I, and you know, on my show, the Patrice who's in the chat, we've talked about this before. A lot of the younger journalists don't understand. Like, yeah, you're being really cool when you leak the photo and you leak the health kit. Oops, sorry, I said who I was talking about. You make a statement, and you don't realize how many people are tied to that. You're not attacking Apple per se. They got more money than Methuselah, so you're not really going to bother them. But there is a company that has 100 employees. And they make some of the parts that go on the phone, or they make cases that are connected to the phone, or they make apps that go with the phone. And you start leaking stuff and talking about, oh, I did this because I want to be cool and let everybody know what's coming so I can get all these hits so I can sell ads, and not realizing if for whatever reason Apple cans that product, or they change something, or they dissolve a relationship with a certain semiconductor company because you told everybody that it was coming out and they wanted to do something else. I mean, whatever the stories are, there's damage that can be done besides sticking it to Apple or Samsung or whoever by leaking stuff that is none of your freaking business. That is not your job, right? And you really put other people and cause some people to lose their job, you know? Because you can say, oh, well, this battery company is causing a pop-up. And it happened to be a onesie, twosie case, like antenna gate. And then, you know, maybe somebody comes in and says, you know, we're not going to use that supply anymore because they made us look bad. And you just put a couple thousand people out of a job because you talked about something and blew it out of proportion that wasn't really a big deal. And that's the kind of stuff that bothers me.
Hmm. Yeah, agreed. Absolutely.
Yeah. I hate to quote Captain Picard here, but I mean, journalism's first and real true job is to the truth. Whatever truth that might be, if it is like historical truth, or if it is scientific truth, or even personal truth. I mean, it is to the truth, unbiased. That's journalism.
Mm.
You're right.
Mm. Or at least that's the concept.
Jeff, you're the journalist. Any thoughts?
Yep, I'm totally with you.
Oh, yeah, what he said.
No, okay, so here's the deal. Having a balance to your coverage, I think, is a really good thing. And being responsible with the information you have so that you don't create a scenario like Doc just described where suddenly hundreds or thousands of people are out of a job because you wanted to sensationalize a story. See, that's really important. The problem is a lot of journalism anymore isn't really journalism. It's all about entertainment and traffic. And if that's what you're focusing on, you don't have journalism. And my fear is that the public, just in general, is moving away from having an interest in journalism and the very important role that it plays in our societies around the world. And they're far more interested in simply being entertained. And once we hit that point where that's all people want, we're pretty much screwed, because then anyone can manipulate the system any way they want, and no one's going to care.
I think there's a good point in that, because one of the things that I get a lot of letters telling me I'm a complete twat, but the way I view it, what we do is we provide entertainment, and sometimes I'm the joker in the pack because it keeps the show moving, it keeps the entertainment flowing with it, and we are about entertainment. We're not about taking ourselves too seriously, but we have an assembled group of people every week who have a great deal of knowledge and expertise. And it's striking a line between that element of being entertaining, but also holding some credibility to what you do. And I think sometimes, particularly me, I lose credibility because of the fact I'm always trying to be entertaining rather than boring, like the rest of you. Oh, man. You know what I mean. It's a tough line to strike, isn't it? Because when it comes down to it, if you're in a car and you're listening to some of the podcasts I've listened to, you're kind of like, holy crap, I'm going to have a rigging accident here if I keep listening to this shit. Because, it's technically perfect. And Steve Neighbor tried to put me onto Hypercritical. And I don't want to slag anyone else off who does podcasts. I couldn't listen to it. It was just, it was turgid to try and get through. It was too long. It was too droning. It just didn't come across as entertaining in the slightest. Technically, it might be perfect, but I couldn't stand listening for long enough to find out whether it was or it wasn't. You know, and that's But that's the hard part to strike, which is that a lot of journalism now is more about entertaining than it is about providing facts.
Yeah. Okay. Kelly just said that BTN was entertainment curry.
We are entertainment curry.
That's yeah. A beautiful thing.
Well, that's the title so far. Then entertainment curry. We're getting there. Thank you, Kelly.
Yeah. It's nice to ingest today, but whole tomorrow it's gonna hurt.
never mind. She's on my list.
I mean, on the subject of news and entertainment. I mean, if you have Yahoo, I mean, I don't really know who uses Yahoo much anymore. But if you go onto Yahoo's homepage, you know, the news on there isn't news. It is entertainment. I mean, just on the subject when you started talking about it, then I thought, you know what? I remember going onto Yahoo the other day, and it was like looking at just a load of adverts saying, you know, you won't believe what this woman's done, or insurance companies hate this person. I mean, what? Who gives a sugar? I can't swear.
It's all TMZ rubbish, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it's just a load of pants. It does bug me. It really does.
But it's all that. Hands up, anyone who's seen on Facebook going, which drink are you? Which Harry Potter character are you? It's all that kind of crap that's on the internet right now, isn't it?
But the thing is,
those are the worst. Name a movie without the letter E. I'm like, what?
Yeah. There's the Dagon. I mean, it's true, though, because I clicked on a story that someone tweeted out the other day, and it was a serious, serious story in The Guardian. But then there was all those little bits like, you know, so-and-so's nipple slip. And you start clipping on those things, and you're like, oh,
do they have those photos of me again?
Oh, YouTube. There was a guy the other day did a fantastic documentary on Afghanistan and the crap the Americans have got themselves into, and how bad they look in the eyes of the Afghanis that are trying to be the police, and then how it's all going wrong. And I watched that, and then I started watching videos on plane crashes, and then I started watching videos on remote control vehicles, and then I started watching, and before you know it, 45 minutes has gone, and you're like, holy shit, I've done nothing.
Yeah. Somebody on the chat rooms just said Yahoo is the US Daily Mail. So that's
it kind of is, yeah. And I hate people that put a Bitly link in Twitter, and it's a frigging Daily Mail link, because that really screws with my cookies, and then I get shit in them all day.
Inquiry from someone who is from abroad: is that a bad magazine?
The Daily Mail is, well, the nickname of the Daily Mail is the Daily Fail. So it's a kind of,
I know,
stuff, isn't it?
Those in my own territory. So.
It used to be, well, basically, if you're old and you're middle class in England, and you want to get angry about everything, you read the Daily Express or the Daily Mail, and that's it. My dad's a Daily Express reader, and he's just an angry old man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a typical story is like this: ex Goldman Sachs trader 35 sues because he only got 8.25 million bonus instead of the 13
That's
million.
Exactly.
He bragged to his mother. Who gives a care? Really? I don't want
to
hear that.
It wants to get middle aged ex bin men to feel angry about their life. Definitely. Are they still showing Janet Jackson's nipple slip? Says Bronwyn.
No, but Daily, they have a huge picture talking about Obama giving somebody an award.
Daily Mail would. They definitely would.
Yeah.
Wow.
Jeff, what did you bring for us, buddy?
I brought you... Okay, I think this is really cool. And you know how I tend to drift away from the traditional tech stuff? I found you Warp Drive.
No!
Yeah. Okay, so NASA has been working on warp drive technology, and we're not there yet, but they're to the point now where they have been able to mock up what they envision
the spacecraft
looking like. And I'm dropping a link to an article into the chat
room
now.
Tell them the name.
I'm sorry? Oh, it's the Enterprise.
Oh,
it is. But they're calling it IXS Enterprise. And the scientist that's been working on the technology, his name is Harold White.
Well, I mean, now there's a difference here, Jeff, between NASA. We have a very proud statement that we've been working really hard to the point now that we can actually draw a picture of what it might look like, as opposed to where the technology is. So where's the technology, as opposed to we're far enough down the line that we could draw a picture?
The technology is at a theoretical state. The problem is we don't have what we need to generate an appropriate power source. But the ability to bend or warp space around an object, they've worked that out. So we're at a point now where if they could figure out how to create a power source for this, they could start working on experimental craft, really.
Well, why don't they just talk to PME and do it wirelessly?
That's brilliant.
That'd be awesome. Wow.
Someone send an email.
And they warp too far from Starbucks, and then hey, what happened, Mike? Oh, man, we went too far from the Starbucks. We have more power.
Envision it now. The Captain Kirk of the future looks over at the science officer. Why don't we have any power? I'm sorry, we kind of went too far away from Starbucks.
What we're going to do is we're going to develop warp drive, and we're going to fly off, just like they did in the Star Trek movies, and then we're going to pull up at the nearest habitable Class M planet, land, step out, and instead of it being deforestation and jungle and all that kind of stuff, there's going to be a Starbucks there.
Because they got to recharge.
So we'll still have Wi-Fi.
Already. <Awesome. laughs> Excuse me, can I get a Frappuccino? I don't believe for 1 second we're going to see warp drive in my lifetime.
Probably not in our lifetime, but if we're at a point where they're saying, okay, we know how to make this work, we just need to have
a complete change of the law of physics,
power source to make it happen, we can start doing tests. So, you know, not in our lifetime, but soon after that, we might be at a point where they could start doing small scale testing.
There's got to be a law, right? And we'll call it the Roddenberry law.
Okay.
Where if you make shit up in someone's lifetime, you have to be able to friggin' do it before the end of their life. Otherwise, it doesn't count.
Nice.
And it's called the Roddenberry law. There you go.
All right, let's call Rod and ask him if we can use that name first. I don't want to get in trouble. He's my friend, so, you know.
Right, send him a tweet. Ask Rod Roddenberry.
I'll send him a tweet.
Ewan Rankin says, can we have the Roddenberry law? And the Roddenberry law means if you make shit up, you've got to be able to do it in your lifetime. Not his dad's. But obviously,
and you know what's cool is we could turn that into a hashtag. So every time somebody leaks Health Kit a couple months early, damn, I did it again.
Hashtag Roddenberry Law. That's it. I've started Roddenberry Law. So have a word with Rod. See if he'll
trending.
Allow us.
I want to get it trending. I think that's awesome. A good idea, because especially we were already talking about journalists making crap up. So like this all segues right together beautifully.
Exactly. Perfect. So yeah. Bullshit
the first
journalism.
Cohesive show ever.
hashtag Roddenberry Law.
Got it.
The Roddenberry Law is now going to have a Wikipedia entry, and I hope I'm credited with inventing it and not frigging Doc.
Done.
That's all you.
Have you done it, or are you just going done?
No, I'm doing it.
You're doing it now?
Yeah.
You're creating a Wikipedia page on Roddenberry Law.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Brilliant. I'll put it in a chat room as soon as I'm done. I'll go to Wikipedia. Wow.
This is like
parenthesis a bit down in the like a few paragraphs down, also known as Ewan Rankin.
This is like where were you when JFK was shot? Where were you when
Roddenberry Law was conceived?
Part of this.
That was fermented in the back passages of Ewan's mind. I had a cool thing today. I had an absolutely massive cool thing today. I was working at Rail Live, which is a rail network show, expo. And I was there taking pictures of one of the speakers in the conference tent. And I take a couple of pictures, and then I found an empty seat at the back, and I just sat down next to this chap. And the guy showed a video, which I'd made. And he looked at me, he said, was that one of yours then? I said, yeah, I made that. He said, hi, my name's Nick. I love the Big Show and the Max Show. Yes!
Whoa.
That is awesome. So cool! So, thank you, Nick. Big shout out to Nick for saying something brilliant. It's the third time that's happened to me, which is brilliant. I didn't have my picture taken with him, but I should have. Thank you, Nick.
Okay. Right, I'm in Wikipedia. I'm logged in. How do I make a new page?
Oh, Jesus Christ, we haven't got the time for that. You were brilliant.
I thought you were already there.
I thought he'd done it, exactly.
I'm in. Oh, yeah, actually, I've got it. Roddenberry Law.
There you go. Kelly G's. I'll just give you, Kelly's writing him a text. to speed things up.
I was going to say, just send an email to the help show, and they'll tell you how to do it.
Yeah.
Kelly, send him a text. The text has got to read, Kelly, the Roddenberry Law. It's when you make shit up, you've got to be able to do it in the next generation's lifetime who watched your show when they were kids.
Yeah, upload file. Yeah, I'm in. Yeah, I am in. Yeah, here we go. Yeah, link coming very, very soon.
And Doc says, make sure you mention Kobayashi Maru.
Yeah. Like, you got it. And because if you don't, then it means you have your head up, your Kobayashi inspecting your Klingons.
I thought he was on the board of Nintendo, actually, but never mind.
I see what you did there.
Nobody expects.
I see exactly what you did there.
Nobody expects the Kobayashi Maru, says Bookery. Oh, this is too geeky by far. Jeff, superb story, mate. Superb. I really want that. I really would love to be able to travel at the speed of light, but then again, we wouldn't.
Well, in this case, you'd be traveling substantially faster than the speed of light.
My wife would be happy if I didn't fall asleep with the front end of the television before 8:30 at night.
Well, baby steps.
Baby steps, too, right, yeah. The Bash is coming up. You've been hearing us talking about it, making vague references to it. If you come to the Bash, you get a free copy of Microsoft Office 97 upgrade and a free copy of Windows 95 upgrade, still in the cellophane, so there's an extra incentive to come. We've got two dates. The 11th is the curry. It's pays a £10 deposit. That deposit is your money still. It just means that when we get to the end of the night, we'll do a little whip round, and all of the deposits will go in to reduce the bill to a small amount. I think last year we drank all night and ate all night, and it came out to 30 quid total for everybody. Wow. And 10 quid had already been given in the deposit, so it was dead easy to do. But that's 5:30. It's at the Kismet Curry House, which is the best curry house in the entire world. It is fantastic food, and everyone that went last year said it really, really was fantastic food. So come over. It starts at 5:30, 6 o'clock-ish. Milan, who owns the place, is going to give us the function room at the back all to ourselves. There's a little gardeny area, not particularly big, but it'll get some air through the place. There'll be beer and there'll be wines and ciders and et cetera, whatever you want. And also he's going to put out some starter tureens, so there'll be some food to pick on straight away before we sit down and have the main course and just chit-chat. Kids are invited as well. There's no problem with kids coming. You just need to let me know that they're coming as well. And obviously you'll have to separate the bill with them too. But it's going to be a great night. It should be really, really good fun. It was a fantastic afternoon because we'd sat and drank all afternoon in the pub before we went over there last time. But we're all doing it at the Kismet tonight, that night. And then on the 12th of July is the all-day bash. From 10 o'clock, the doors will be open. Come from 11-ish if you really want to, unless you want to help set up. But it's a whole day of just having fun, talking, drawing, drinking, eating food, watching kids play in the garden. We're going to have sack races, egg and spoon races. There's the World Card Cutting Championships again. Scarlet Neighbour will be there defending her title valiantly because she kicked our asses last year. I think she was 3-0 in the final. And won her dad a 12 South gift. And it should be loads and loads of fun. It should be brilliant, brilliant fun. Big garden out the back at the venue. We'll have a great time. So please, I know we're only a couple of weeks away now, so if you are coming, please get your tickets in, because I've already paid for the venue, which has cost me 400 quid, and we need to pay the caterer at the end of next week, so we need to know rough numbers for that. So even if you just send me an email that says, I'm definitely coming, I just haven't got paid yet, so I haven't bought my ticket, that's okay, that's fine. I'm not too worried about that, but just let us know numbers so we can get the caterer involved, and please get your tickets if you possibly can, because you're leaving it a bit late, and we're going to struggle otherwise. So that's the 11th and 12th of July. And you go to britishjetnetwork.com/bash tickets if you'd like to order. Everyone's welcome. Partners are great as well. They'll be fine. Don't worry about it. Even if they're not real techie geeks, it's not a techie day. It's a have some fun day. Nothing more. Family fun day. And we had space opera racing last year as well. But
amazing.
Roddenberry Law. What's the word on Roddenberry Law? Have we been given the okay yet, Doc?
I'm looking, I'm scrolling to Twitter. I did just make a tweet that you guys can save and favorite it. I said that you coined it so that nobody tries to steal it from you later.
Okay.
So it's public history now.
Thanks, man. Good. That's it. It's mine. And we got a Wikipedia page on the way if Paul can work out how to write.
It's done.
It's done.
Yeah.
We got a link.
Here we go. It just says waiting for Kelly G to give us content, but here we go. In the chat room. No! There you go.
All right. Oh, here we go. Roddenberry Law.
Wow.
I'm looking at it. That's impressive to do that. Well done, mate.
Cheers, mate.
It's not loading. It is loading. Oh,
it says waiting for input from Kelly G.
It does.
It's on.
Why's it got Roddenberry Law BTN on it?
Because Roddenberry Law was already taken.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
There's a thing called Roddenberry Law.
Yeah.
Well, so, I can't have made it up then.
This is a subsection of.
Well, what's the real Roddenberry Law as opposed to the fake one I've just made up?
God no.
It says the page Roddenberry Law does not exist.
I'll try again. Carry on.
Bloody hell, mate!
Mate, seriously, send an email to the help show. We can get you started.
I made a Wikipedia post live online. That's not bad.
Yeah,
that's pretty impressive.
Right,
even if it is.
I want Roddenberry Law. I don't want Roddenberry Law BTN.
All right,
Roddenberry Law.
Give me
it's my frigging law with his name.
You can make up shit on Wikipedia, and it's real now.
Hey, if it's on Wikipedia, it must be true.
Streak, what did you bring for us, mate?
I found a somewhat interesting article about SSDs by our good buddies over at Ars Technica.
All right.
Apparently, someone has been running a very lengthy test to see just how long an SSD can run before it keels over. So far,
depends if Kingston make it or not.
Kingston has actually made it fairly far. Not until very recently that one of their drives died with good company.
I lost two.
Both Intel and Samsung, which are two of the big names, they, together with the Kingston drive, died at roughly the same time. After, let's check out the numbers here, 700 terabytes of writes for the Intel drive.
Wow.
The Kingston drive died at roughly 725 terabytes. And the Samsung drive, 900 terabytes.
Wow.
Yeah, that's why I say buy Sammy's.
That's good.
These are way, way beyond what they're like rated and specified to do. So SSDs, more reliable than they say on paper, at least. These the ones they've tried so far. And this test has been going since last August, so it takes a while.
Who's had an SSD crap out on them?
Never. Not yet.
I've had two Kingston drives crap out in 6 months. Mm. And I got my money back on them I bought them from Amazon. I've got to say, props to Amazon customer service. I wrote to them and said, this drive's dead, I've lost data. And they said, okay, no problem, we'll send you another. So they set another one out, and 6 months later, that one died. And so a year down the line, they say, we'll give you a full credit. And they gave me all the money back on it. So when I brought the next one, which I bought a Crucial, which is still working just fine and dandy, but I bought it from Amazon because I knew I was covered. They were good as gold. Fantastic customer service on that.
That's very cool.
But I've had two Kingston drives crap out, and I've heard nightmares about other drives, but the Crucial ones I've had I've never had a problem with. Has anyone else had one though? Go.
I've got a Crucial in my Mac right now. I upgraded to 16 gigs and of RAM and a 1 terabyte. Sorry, not 1 terabyte. A 500 gig SSD in it, and I tell you what, I love it. It's just it flies. There's no problem. It doesn't. It's just amazing. I'm just with it.
Crucial are the best.
Mm. Crucial drives are good. OWC as well get good reviews.
You know. What's really good about the OWC drives is they've figured out a way to kind of handle some of the stuff that's handled by trim. But if you do pick up a drive outside of OWC, you're going to want to download this $10 program called Trim Enabler. And it also just makes everything just beautiful. It's only 10 bucks and it works magic.
I was just about to say trim. The Mac App Store's got a Trim Enabler. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, worth it. I've got that. That was recommended to me by Eric Lanigan. Remember that?
Oh, dude.
Blimey. Long time ago.
Oh.
I'm wearing a Twit t-shirt tonight as well. So there you go. If you're alive, Eric, hello, mate. I've heard from
him. More interesting from the same article here. Three of those drives they're still testing, by the way, they've written 1 petabyte of data to.
That's a lot of writes. That's a lot of writes.
That's pretty insane.
Well, no, because you were always, they reckoned it was 11,000 writes, wasn't it? 11,000 data writes to each cell would cripple them. So they must be way beyond that now.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And these are just consumer-grade SSDs. It's not like industrial use or a server or anything like that. This is just regular stuff you, like, common people buy.
Yeah.
I mean, SSDs, more reliable than we thought, at least in some aspects.
Good. Well, it's, well,
which is awesome.
It's nice to think. I mean, I've stuck with Crucial because I've had good results with them, and I've stayed away from other brands, but I've heard good things about other brands. But, you know, you stick with what you know, don't you? It's,
definitely.
It's like, you know, a lot of people tell me, I've got Western Digital drives, and I've never had a Western Digital drive failure. I've had Seagate drive failures, but I've never had a Western Digital drive failure. Everyone goes, oh, Western Digital is shit, but I've never had one.
I've only had one fail on me, and that was old. I mean, I'm talking 10 years old, and it failed on me 2 years ago. So, you know, I mean, 10 years for an external hard drive, I think it's pretty good.
Mm.
What I found about most of those hard drives is that 9 times out of 10, you go to Amazon and you order a new power supply for like $4 and your drive is fine. Because what you're running into is they make these drives and they put these stupid little 50-cent power supplies. You know, the big Western Digital has that little dumb, ugly, flat plugs pointing the wrong direction wall wart. Those things are so unreliable. And I have really was ready to throw a drive in the trash. And I go, well, let me try a different one. I bought a new drive, same drive, because I was cracking them open to stick it into a Drobo. And since I had the extra power supply, I plug it in and my drive was perfectly fine. So I tell you, if you have that problem, try and get yourself a power supply before you give up on it.
Do you know, I actually just realized my WD didn't break. I took it out and I put it in my computer because the enclosure must have broken. I remember now. Yeah, huh. So there you go. There was nothing wrong with it. You're probably right. It probably was just the power supply.
I think the best WD story ever for externals is when the floods happened in Southeast Asia and Backblaze wasn't able to find drives. They went to Costco in the Bay Area and cleaned out every Western Digital MyBook they could find. So they have pictures on their blog of them with crates, like huge, huge pallets full of Western Digital drives. So much so that one of the guys that works there, his team got banned from all of the Costco's in the Bay Area. So what they did then is they went on the internet and they wrote in their blog in a tweet and they said, hey, go to your Costco and buy as many of these drives you can and send them to us and we'll rebate you or credit you with, you know, like a lifetime of Backblaze. And so they have videos of people day the FedEx guy coming in and rolling up and just giving them hundreds of drives. So they have this wall of drives and they sat there and cracked every single one of them open and stuck it in their data center.
Wow.
I'll find you the article. It's so brilliant. It's funny. And we were talking about a lot at Macro, but I love when a company thinks in their feet rather than get stuck. And that was because Gleb didn't want to give up the $5 a month. He says, I'm not charging more. And everybody's like, yeah, but our service is so good. People will pay it. He's like, nope, I'm going to stick to that. And so they figured it out.
Good. Excellent.
That's very cool.
Righty, have you done our page yet?
I'm trying to take BTN out. Roddenberry's law is taken, and I am now infringing copyright law, apparently.
So can't you do Roddenberry law without the S? Because it wasn't Roddenberry law is not Roddenberry's. I didn't do... No. Oh, that's bad news. We'll come back to it.
I'll work on it.
Yeah, we'll get back to it. But I coined the phrase, Doc said so, in a tweet. What have you brought for us as a story then, Righty?
Viruses. Just a bit of a bit of fear for everyone.
Viruses to yourself, young man.
we are now post the 2 week embargo on the EU shutting down the crypto virus and the Zeus virus in the EU. They were apparently doing us a favour and telling us to get our S in order to make sure we were all sorted. I didn't realise that was kind of an HMRC thing. The website getsafeonline.org was the HMRC, the British kind of... someone remind me, HMRC is... HMRC is...
Majesty's Revenue.
I'm glad it's not just
IRS
me.
IRS is the equivalent.
The IRS equivalent, yeah.
Yeah.
Tax service.
they were able to take down these viruses that hosted the Creature Locker and the Zeus virus. The Creature Locker, as we know and talked about before, is the one that encrypts your viruses, encrypts your files, and basically holds you at ransom. If you don't pay a $300 ransom, they encrypt your files, and if you don't pay it, they don't give you the key. And the Zeus virus is the one that takes the banking thing. And they got me thinking, it's kind of, who is now responsible for this? Because if the government are now taking responsibility of taking a hold of these the servers and shutting them down, I think I mentioned on a help show before, where is it the user? Is it the government? Is it the OS provider? Because apparently there's about 250,000 machines across the world that are infected. Does the user hold a responsibility? Because obviously the user is the most important part, because they're the idiot who clicks on the link and they get infected. But now that the governments are getting involved, do they have more responsibility to be responsible to provide people with the information not to get infected, or is it still at the user level?
That's a good point. I mean, my personal view is that OS is where the responsibility for control of virus has to begin, and then they have to provide an awareness, and the end user then has to provide the solution, as in a third-party virus checker or something like that.
Yeah, but it's interesting that the government has gotten at a certain level to kind of shut these down. So are we waiting for their protection? Because I work in an industry where we've been hit by CryptoLocker and Zeus. You know, I can see the damage it does. And none of the protection that the government have supposedly put in has made any difference. So by them stepping in and shutting down these servers, does that mean that they are taking some sort of responsibility to protect the users, especially in the UK?
Go on, Terry, anyway. You're about to speak there.
Well, yeah, no, I was going to say, I mean, the government's job when it comes to viruses and things like that, I believe is about education, first of all. So, you know, teaching the end user how to be safe and how to avoid. And, you know, when your friend posts something on Facebook and it looks suspicious, it probably is. Do you know what I mean? That first of all, I do think it's their responsibility. What they've done there is probably, in my opinion, would be like a last point of call. If, you know, no, should it be a last point of call? I mean, you know, if it's their responsibility to turn off the server that's responsible for pumping out these viruses and, you know, and causing the infections, and actually, you know, that's a pretty strong responsibility. I think they're...
Yeah, but they gave a 2-week deadline, didn't they? But it wasn't really well advertised.
People to do it.
Because like
question as best.
Because who heeded the kind of 2-week deadline from the government that these had been shut down? Did anyone do anything different because they knew they'd been shut down? Did anyone secure their systems any more than they would normally when they heard that this was being done? Because it was kind of like, you're gonna get 2 weeks, secure your systems down. I don't think 90% of the majority really did anything about it.
I'm sorry, I'm just
first when they see that something doesn't work at all anymore.
So the first time that anyone realizes there's a threat is when they're hacked or they lose any data, which is the biggest problem I have where I work, is the first point of failure is when you can't access that document because it's been encrypted. And no one really seems to think that they're... Because what are people doing about their backups? Is there any education about backups in general? Because there isn't really, because people think that hard drive will spin forever and that Dropbox will save them forever. And I'm not saying anything that an organization that I work for, someone did lose something very recently, very publicly announced. People just kind of just follow along and just kind of to think it's never going to happen to me. And it's just like such a petrifying kind of reality that people think their data is going to be free forever. And it's data that they think, you know, it's their kids' photos, it's their accounts, it's all those kind of things. And no one actually takes any responsibility for the data they have and they kind of don't have anywhere they store it, or if they do store it in a cloud thing, it's free and there's no kind of accountability, and it's just absolutely shocking that no one's kind of...
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like that, the whole thing about smoking almost, you know, that denial of, well, you know, I'll smoke, I probably won't get cancer or be okay, you know, and then it happens and it's like, oh, shit. But, you know, I mean, I think you're exactly right. I think people just don't think it's going to happen to them. But the other thing about backups and educating people with backups is an interesting one as well, because I know that, like, my we've got an old laptop at home, and it used to nag every single day. You need to create a backup. You need to create a backup. And it turned into a nag. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't like something's going to happen to this computer one day. You should back up your computer to be safe. It was like, oh, just stop popping up every single time, please.
And then that's where people get lazy, because it definitely will keep bugging you, and then that's kind of irritating.
It's just like there are so many services out there that will save your ass, and no one seems to do anything about it, and the threat is getting bigger and bigger, because the EU shut down these servers for these the crypto and the Zeus, and one is like destroying your data forever, and one is kind of like the Zeus is banking data. You know, what we're going to do, destroy all your family memories, and then we're going to take all your money.
Yeah, but I can't think that you've got to say... I mean, a government's there to protect its people, and you would suggest that a government is required to have a police force to protect it from crime. And then you're now extending that to say that the government is required to protect people from cybercrime. And that's quite a leap for a government that where most of the people that work in the politicians' side of it, you know, only hear bad things about Twitter. I mean, there's a thing gone around at the local school by me where all the teachers have had to sign a piece of paper saying that they won't talk to any parents of children on Facebook or Twitter. And I'm kind of like, but clearly don't understand that Facebook and Twitter is an absolute permanent record of every exchange they ever have. So why would you not want that? That's a great record to keep, because if there is anything that's inappropriate, you've got a record of it. And even if they delete it with questions and with a subpoena, you can get those records back from the deleted records as well. So you've got absolute proof. And they say, well, yeah, but most convictions come from evidence from Facebook and Twitter. Yeah, that's my point. And no, but that...
I think they misunderstood their question.
I don't... The government is incapable of understanding social media to that kind of level. And the idea of the fact that the European government has actually got to actually find the server that's got rid of all of these things, I think speaks volumes about the power of the EU and their savviness. But I still don't think that it's... I'm against you on one point, Paul, that I think you know, people should be able to look after themselves when it comes to computing. Yeah. But if you stick it a further stat and say, right, well, governments protect people from crime, well, that's cybercrime then. So, yes, they should protect them. So
Yeah, but is it a false veil of security? Because if you did a poll of, yes, the EU was saying we've shut down these servers for 2 weeks, and it was very kind of softly veiled in how they're going to do it. 2 weeks... And eBay got hacked during that time as well. How many people who've got eBay accounts after the hack actually changed their passwords? You probably find like 30% of people probably did.
Well, they forced you to now. You've got no choice.
They did, yeah. So I didn't. Actually, it's funny. I didn't, actually. I just ignored it.
Yeah, and that's it. You don't think about it, do you, until the point that you're forced to do it. That's the...
The best security that measure that you can have with eBay is what I talked about last week. Have a separate email account for eBay and PayPal, because then you're fairly secure, because what they'll do is they'll hack eBay or they'll hack PayPal, and then they'll send emails to the same email address, because most people have a unified email for PayPal and eBay. Once you separate those two, your life gets an awful lot easier.
eBay owns PayPal.
Exactly, which is why you need to separate them with emails. So make sure your user account is forwarded to a completely different email.
Yeah.
For each of them.
Have very long random stuff password, or at least extremely long if possible. and never the same in two places.
Or tape it on the underside of your desk in a book.
No. We don't condone that where I work, I tell you. But where I work, data is currency, and data is worth millions of pounds. But the people who create that data don't realise the value of that data, because they just think those spinning disks are going to last forever. And we put in so many things in place that will protect their data, but because it's slower and it doesn't, you don't connect as well, and it's not as accessible as it could be. They decided to hold it locally, and it's like, if you are compromised, you will lose everything. And the first thing I say is, how much is your data worth? And some of the figures that are thrown back at me they shock me. In that, I'm thinking, Jesus Christ, that's on your C drive, and it is the absolute kind of bloody mindedness of people, you know. And outside work, you know, just as a bloke who knows IT, people go, lost some baby photos, lost everything, you know, because I back up my baby photos from bloody 2002 to 8 or 9 different cloud services. But some people just don't. But think, and these viruses are there.
There's a Darwinian
element. One click on an email. It's literally one click on an email, and you lose everything. You lose the history of your kids, your photographs, growing up, everything. But it is really scary,
there is a Darwinian element to that, which is you only lose data once.
Yeah, and you never get it back.
No, and I've been subject to data loss, and I've lost images for customers. I only did it once, and I'll never do it again.
Yeah.
You know, it's once you've lost some data, then you find out about backups. So, yeah. You know, it's, and if you don't heed that warning, or the actuality, then you don't deserve to have a computer.
No, I say it a bit. I'm absolutely OCD about backups. I am completely OCD about backups. You know, that is my obsession. Mm. I installed another bloody NAS drive tonight just to replace the NAS drive I already had with backups. With more backups, and I'm going to run more backups tonight, and they're back up to the cloud. Because my wife will lynch me if the baby photos go awry. She will absolutely kill me. But for me, I'm kind of like, I've got the most complex password for where I work. Because if I get hacked, I'm screwed. My career is screwed, because if I get hacked, they're going to go, wait a minute, system admin, hacked.
Well, your password's God then, isn't it?
Exactly, my password is absolutely God, and I change it weekly, and it's like 32 characters, and I have to type it in every time. It's terrible, but people need to learn that is what you need to do now, because everyone's password is, you know, well, 80% of the world's password is password 123.
Bronwyn says she got a virus back in 1996, and she's backed everything up religiously ever since. Kelly says, painful lesson to learn, but you do learn it once.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
And it is painful.
I really like the battle.net approach. So anybody that's in sort of World of Warcraft or Diablo 3, or the Diablo 3 add-on as well, which is awesome, by the way. To log in on there, you need an authenticator. So in the States, they've got them on keyrings. You can get like authenticator keyrings. Otherwise, you get an authenticator app on your phone. So every time you want to log in, you just get your phone out, you get the code, and you put it in. Similar to like the chip and pin passwords that we do on line banking as well. I think it's great. I actually feel really, you know, safe. Okay, so I've got my 12 character password or whatever, 15 character password that's secure. But actually, to put my password in and to know that code there is going to sort me out, then yeah, I'm happy with that.
That'd be good. This podcast is supported by the Network Union. If you are working in an IT large firm, something like that, and you need help with your BT, MPLS or WAN system, SIP or Ethernet connectivity, then these are the people to talk to. Whether you're a new BT customer or whether you're an old BTN customer, it doesn't matter. You can get in touch with the Network Union and they can help you with your relationship with BT. You still pay BT. Everything is between you and BT. But they will give you extra added support, an extra layer between, if you like. If you're an existing client, then nothing's going to change. You've still got your contract with them. All the support you get is from them. And it just changes your account management towards Network Union as opposed from being with BT. If you're a small business, an SME, then Business Broadband, they check you for fibre upgrades, core packages, and they'll even give you BT Office 365 and Everything Everywhere Mobile as well as to support that. So there's huge bundles that you can get with them. They're just an absolute brilliant bunch. They support this network through providing the pipe works in so that we can send out the live shows. And also, they sponsor the Patreon giveaway. So please support them. Go to britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors and click on the Network Union tab and see what they can do. Give them your email. They'll only use it to contact you. They won't give you any spam thereafter, and they won't give you, they won't sell it on to anyone else or anything like that. All of the sponsors for BTN, please, 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 if you're listening to this, please take the time just once a week to go to the sponsors page, use the click through, and just have a browse around in what they've got. You don't have to buy anything, just have a browse. But if you do need help with your BT, MPLS, WAN or SIP system, then give Network Union a call because they're absolutely brilliant. Thank you for support, Robert. We really, really appreciate it. And the other people is, of course, UK2. You get fantastic details on your web through them. You get domains, VPS, VPN, dedicated servers, whatever you want. They give us all the bandwidth for all the shows that go out through iTunes and other media catching devices. And also they give us all the storage space as well. We have unlimited storage and unlimited bandwidth thanks to UK2. So check them out. Sponsors page again on BTN. And use the offer codes as well because you get an absolutely fab deal. 20% off domain names, which is well worth it if you're talking about some of the more illustrious domain names that have just come out. So give them a check out. Thank you very much for your support, UK2. We'd be lost without you. Right, and also I said if you wanted to go to Patreon, patreon.com/British Tech Network, it's right here on the bottom. Check us out there and give us a couple of quid or a couple of dollars. If you think the shows that we push out every month are worth it, we'd appreciate that. We've got new lighting coming in the studio in the next couple of weeks here. We've got new lighting already bought for the Northern Studio. Paul Wheatley is going to be doing the Gamer Show and the Pocket Show as live shows in August. So we'll be a full, not 24 hour, but we'll have an awful lot of shows going out on a regular basis. And the chat room will be running and people will be in there and it'll be a lot more like the existing shows are. So that's all come from having the support through patreon.com. Thanks to everyone who supports us. And there is a draw at the end of the month and you're going to get a free copy of Windows 95 upgrade. So it's well worth that couple of ducks. Definitely. Right. Cool things. Duck, what you got for us, bud?
You know, just super interesting to me. I wish I could partake. But T-Mobile is doing this thing called the 7-Night Challenge. And so what you do, and I don't know if this is just in the U.S., but let's just assume for all S&Gs, what you do is you go to their site and you sign up for this phone. They'll send you an iPhone 5S for free. And you have 7 nights in order to test drive it on the network. And if you feel unhappy for whatever reason, you can send it back. And all they ask you to do is to send out these tweets. But it's really funny because what makes it hilarious is they're having you through this Facebook thing send out tweets like directly calling out AT&T and Sprint and all this other stuff. So like there's confessions of a cheater. Like you talk about how you want to cheat on your network. You said such a flirt. You send love notes to T-Mobile. You got these roses and reds poems that you do. And it's pretty hilarious. And at the end of the 7 days, if you're totally happy, you send a public breakup tweet, whatever your current carrier is. So I've been looking at T-Mobile for a little bit because I really want to choke the living crap out of AT&T.
Mm-hmm.
Only because here they're throttling like, yeah, it's so stupid. Like, I don't even want to get into that. It's a longer conversation. But I just think this is brilliant marketing on their behalf. I think big ups to CEOs like Legere who would do anything, like including calling out the Amazon phone today. It's like, oh, what? I heard about that. Yeah, that's funny. You know, like, I don't know. I'm really impressed with what T-Mobile's doing right now. The quote-unquote, we call them the uncarrier. And, yeah, it's just interesting to see what they're doing. So if you have the capability to, you might want to check out T-Mobile 7-Night Stand.
Excellent, mate. Good pick. Thank you very much. T-Mobile, you got to get rid of AT&T, mate. Got to get rid of AT&T. Jeffrey, what do you have for us, mate?
Well, what I have, I can't actually show you except other than a link because I had to abandon my place in a rush today. But my pick hold on, grabbing a link here for everyone, is the Lego Ghostbusters kit. Mine showed up, and it's all four of the Ghostbusters plus Ecto-1, and the building this thing, it was just a delight from beginning to end. It's just so much fun because it's clear they put so much thought into how this kit needed to go together. And when you're done, you have an awesome looking Ecto-1, and you have all the Ghostbusters with their proton packs. So since I couldn't show it other than a URL, I'll make sure next week that I have it so I can hold it up in front of the camera.
Brilliant.
But it is one of the best Lego builds I've ever had.
Have you got a subscription to Kudo or whatever it is? No,
Lego I just thing? Go and check all the time to see what's happening.
No kidding. You've got about everything that comes out of that thing, the R&D.
Yeah, I have several things. Yes, you are right. And they're all very cool.
Good, man. We'll look forward to seeing it next week when it's complete. We like that. Terry, were you told you needed a cool thing?
I wasn't told, but I can actually give you a cool thing right now.
Go for it, mate.
So my cool thing is my Bowers & Wilkins headphones that I'm using right now. I don't know if you can see them. It's gone a bit dark in here, and the light switch is about half a meter away, so that's too far. But so these are my cool thing, actually. I bought them last week, and they've got like this microporous, like BB ball kind of membrane. I think I'll try and show it nice and close up there, which means that air can pass through them, which forces the sound through. Just the sound quality is fantastic. And I honestly have never had a pair of headphones this good. I've just come back from using some really big Sennheiser Amperia headphones, and these kick the
daylights
out of them. Yes, they do. So that's my cool thing.
Excellent, mate. Good one. Righty, what have you got for us, boy?
Well, I never thought I'd say this, but my cool thing this week is Office 365. We're running it out at work at the moment. It's not what the mere mortals would get. We're rolling out 50 gig mailboxes and 1 terabyte cloud drive, OneDrive for everyone. But it's absolutely changed the way I work. And if you are a cross-device person, as you are a Windows Phone user as well, the apps and the support that you get for it is absolutely amazing. And I think Jim in the chat room would agree. He's getting moved over this week. But OneDrive for Business, Link, Office for Mobile, all that sort of thing. Absolutely bloody amazing. And it's just that kind of thing where Microsoft is kind of realizing that their infrastructure isn't based around the Windows operating system anymore. It is iOS, it's Android, it's Linux, all those sort of things. They've really kind of got behind kind of that everything's in the cloud, and it doesn't really matter what operating system you're on. It is just all about getting to your stuff. But they are the, you know, I've got the Dropbox, and I've got cloud, you got iOS, Mac Drive coming out and all that sort of thing. Theirs is the most kind of seamless kind of thing you can get. So absolutely brilliant. So if you want a subscription to that, it's pretty good, but our one is amazing.
Excellent, mate. Well done. Office 365 being recommended. You never thought you'd hear that, did you?
No.
But no.
I'm going to one up that. I agree. Actually, I was impressed with it as well.
Oh, praise indeed. You'll be having everyone over to it now. There we go. Streak, what have you got for us, bud?
I have 1.5, or actually, that's called a 2 different little recommendations here, more or less. Right now, it's the big summer sale over on Good Old Games, GOG.com. So if you run over there, you can find a ton of awesome, older, but really good games for your PC or Mac. Most run on both, but some only run on Windows, and, well, why not?
What was the link again?
GOG.com.
Oh, cool. What typical titles have you got there?
Right now, for instance, there's a sale, and we can see flash sale here is Far Cry 2, which is a somewhat newer game. Also has Assassin's Creed, Director's Cut, You can get that for $5, which is 75% off according to the site currently. Coming up, we have things like Medal of Honor and Alan Wake and Driver Parallel Lines. So some of that stuff coming up later tonight even, apparently.
Excellent.
And the second one I would just like to recommend, Star Trek Continues, kind of continuing a little bit on our earlier warp drive talk there. It's a fan-made continuation of the original Star Trek series, with the difference that this one is actually really, really well produced compared to most fan-produced Star Treks.
Well, I will totally back you up on that.
The original series just kind of meandered
over.
Star Trek Continues
and Star Trek Phase 2 are both fantastic.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, they really check look and out. Feel like the original 60s series in a good way, shall we say.
Does the guy in the red shirt always die still?
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much. Also, yeah, they got
Star
Chris
Trek
Duhan
Continues
doing Scotty, which is the son of James Doohan.
Yes.
Oh, right. That's nice.
And Sulu is played by Grand Imahara, who from Ghost Mythbusters.
Mythbusters. Yep. Where does he find the time, I ask you?
I know.
I would want to know his secret for that, because that would be a really good secret to know.
My cool thing, first of all, is to say well done to the Supreme Court in the US, because they've ruled that unanimously you cannot have software that patents an abstract idea. Finally. The thin end of the wedge on bullshit patents, I would suggest that is. So well done to the Supreme Court. The old duffers have actually got something right. For once, I hope they can continue on and do for hardware what they've done for software. Now, the other cool thing I've got is I am striving for long flight times on my drones, my UAVs, and I'm up to 45 minutes now on one battery. And I've got a new rig that's up there that's flown for 45 minutes earlier this evening. But one of the things that I got the other week for it was from B&Q. And it's called a performance screwdriver, 3.6 volt, and it's a lithium battery. And you basically, it's got forward and reverse, and it's got a light on the end of it as well, which is great. And I charged this up using the supplied power charger, and I haven't recharged it yet. And I built the whole of this of that quadcopter and another one using this, and it's still going. This thing is just unbelievable. If you want to do heavy drilling and stuff like that and put something into, like, masonry, forget it. It's not for that. But it's great for little hobby crafty type stuff. And it's magnetic, and it's 20 quid. And the battery, the battery, it still hasn't run out. Perfect. Absolutely brilliant. 20 quid at B&Q. Performance PSD36A. That's what it is. And it's just 20 quid. And it just... I could sit and do this through the whole show, annoying as it might be.
No.
Is it a phaser? It could be, actually.
No.
That's a good point.
No. What does B&Q stand for?
I have no clue, mate.
I know.
Go on.
Enlighten us.
Block and Quail.
Oh, jolly good.
There you go.
Jolly good. I'm sure they're owned by Home Depot. So, there we go. Where can we get a hold of you, Doc?
The easiest place is to probably check the post office. I normally rank somewhere between 9 and 10 on the most wanted list. No, I'm at Doc Rock on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, whatever. And then also you can find me on the unofficial Apple weblog, TUAW, every Tuesday doing a show with Verso and Patrice talking about how to fix your kit and just random stuff.
Excellent, mate. Thank you. Where can we get a hold of you, Jeffrey?
You can find me at macobserver.com, and you can find me on a bunch of different podcasts, Apple Context Machine, the iOS show, which is formerly, we have communicators here, sometimes on, on the Mac show. I have a new podcast every morning called the TMO Daily Observations. And then you can also find me at Fresh Brewed Tales, where I talk about all the stuff that I see happening at coffee shops.
All the shit that goes down at coffee shops.
That's right.
Boulder. Excellent, mate. Terry, where are you, sir, before your communication craps out yet again?
I'm sorry.
It's all right, mate.
So, where am I? What am I doing? Where can everybody get me?
Yeah, exactly. Sorry.
I'm at, on Twitter at Terry_CY. And I'm, this is the first time I've ever done anything like this. So there's no other follow-on podcasts at present. unless you guys want to have me back and ask
you,
what happened.
You are more than welcome to return, mate. Please do come back any time. And we've got a help show as well, so we could you can fit in with that with some web stuff.
Great. Sounds great.
Liaise with Wheatley. You've got to see him every day, sir.
I will indeed. But it's, yeah, so that's where you can catch me. And thank you very much for having me.
No, thanks for coming along, mate. Good discussions. Where are you, Righty?
Hello, mate. Paul's on Twitter and hang around at the old BritishNetwork.com.
Good man. And reviews coming? We got some reviews on the way from MacPaw, haven't we?
We have, yeah. We've got, liaised actually, through them. It's a bit of an avalanche, yeah.
Good. Excellent. So, superb job. And last but by no means least, Streak.
You can just hunt me down on streakmachine.com, and if you find someone named Streak Machine on, well, pretty much any social network that I care about, it's probably me.
The book, dude. The book. Do the book. Right. Jesus Christ, you're shit time. At this.
Also, have a small book out, $5 cheap, and it's a healthy guide to a, well, simpler digital life, more or less. And you get to learn about the important things in life, like backing up, important, that hard drives die, and lots of little things that...
Perfect. Perfect for your grandmother. What's the link?
You can find it all on streakmachine.com as well. It's right up there in the top. There's a book, and it'll take you to the right page.
If it's the last thing I do, I'm going to get you to do this properly and promote yourself. You're crap.
One of these days, I'm going to learn to do
you it. Are utterly, utterly... I brought a book. I want 50% because I'm the only bugger that's sold any of your books. You haven't.
Probably it's true, actually, yeah.
That's true. Okay. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be back again tomorrow with the Mac Show, as normal, discussing all of the week in Apple. We got Dave Sparks is on, so it should be a nice one.
Awesome.
So see you then. Take care and have a good week and enjoy your tech. Thanks for listening.